WJFFradio.org.
WJFF Jeffersonville. You're listening to Radio Catskill.
From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the local edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight, and I won't be here with you for long because it is the first Tuesday of the month, and that's when we typically air the Kingfisher Project, Information Against Addiction, with Bill Williams. Last month, Bill Williams spoke with Bridget Brennan, special narcotics prosecutor for New York City. Her office works with New York City's district attorneys to investigate and prosecute felony narcotics cases all across the five boroughs of the city. They do a lot more than that as well. At the time that Bill spoke with Bridget Brennan, he also spoke to two of her colleagues that work under her in the special prosecutor's office. So tonight we'll actually be hearing that portion of the interview with the other two guests. If you missed the first half, it is up at the Kingfisher Project podcast page at WJFFradio.org. It's also on our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com, look for Radio Catskill, and subscribe there to our channel. It helps us out in a big way. And now, let's hand things over to Bill Williams for the Kingfisher Project.
Welcome to the Kingfisher Project, information and awareness about the heroin and opiate epidemic. I'm Julie Pizzol. The Kingfisher Project began in memory of my daughter, Rebecca Jean Pizzol, who was shot and killed due to her heroin addiction. At her memorial service, her former teacher, Mr. Okazalik, read an essay she wrote. It was about a bird, an injured kingfisher bird that she found and rescued when everyone else had given up on the bird. In that spirit, our community came together and formed the Kingfisher Project. Since 2014, we have been raising awareness about the drug and opiate crisis in our listening area and around the country, right here on Radio Catskill. Here is Bill Williams.
My guests this evening are from the Office of the Special Narcotics Prosecutor for the City of New York. Chris Adel, Senior Trial Counsel and Senior Attorney for Special Projects, and Bernice Ordonez is Chief of Investigations. Their mission, along with 200 others who work in the office, is to protect public safety and prevent overdose deaths by investigating and prosecuting high-level narcotics trafficking organizations and illicit prescription drug distribution networks, and by responding to community complaints about persistent drug activity and associated violence. Targeted prosecutions and alternatives to incarceration are essential components of an effective strategy to save lives and reduce arrests. Welcome, everybody.
First of all, Bill, thank you very much for inviting us. I just want to say to any educators out there, we have a presentation that we give to schools, which we're about to go into in a minute, and community groups. And if any educators out there want a copy of our presentation, they can email us. I'm going to give the email address.
Oh, please.
Info, that's I-N-F-O, info at SNP, which is short for Special Narcotics Prosecutor, dot M-Y-C dot G-O-V. Again, info at SNP dot M-Y-C dot gov, I-N-F-O at SNP dot M-Y-C dot G-O-V.
Now, Chris, when you say educators out there, how far out can we talk about?
Well, our presentation does have a few slides that talk about New York City, but most of the slides are universal. They talk about the fentanyl problem as well as other dangerous drugs, and it's very educational. We provide it to students, faculty, parents, community groups. Has some videos in it as well. It's we've heard great things about people's reactions to it. It's very educational. I believe it does a good job of explaining to students exactly how dangerous the illegal drug supply is these days, and how you can't play around, and how just one experience with fentanyl can kill you. And how we'll get into this in a minute, but the bottom line is, and I apologize to any viewers who already know this, but I just want to make sure everyone knows, the drug dealers are using fentanyl, and they're claiming that it's cocaine or heroin, And they've also gotten so sophisticated that they've purchased these pill press machines that these pharmaceutical companies use to make their own pills. They take the fentanyl, they put them in the pill press machine. They create pills with the exact same shape, size, color, all the way down to the markings of real prescription pills, such as Percocet, Oxycodone, Adderall, you name it. And they sell it online. They claim that it's the real thing. People get it delivered to their home. And just one pill with the lethal dose of fentanyl can kill the person. And many people have died just that way, including very many young people. And the same thing with the cocaine and heroin. They're claiming it's cocaine and heroin, but it's really fentanyl. And someone takes the cocaine or the heroin and they die, and they can die within minutes. And it also, the person, sorry, I'll stop in a second. The person who takes it, the fentanyl reduces their breathing to the point where they stop breathing altogether, and then they die. So they don't even realize that they're dying, and this can happen within minutes.
Bernice. Chris, excuse me, thank you for that, and I want to hear more. Bernice, you're the chief of investigations. How does the chief of investigations, I would think that would take up, with 3,000 arrests a year, I would think that would take up an awful lot of your time. So how do you divide your time, and how did you get into the education aspect of what the office does?
Absolutely. It definitely is a little time consuming, but as Bridget mentioned, this is our mission, and we're facing this epidemic from all sides. So while I love doing the investigation portion of it, I really do enjoy going out there and talking to kids. And it really came about because it's so scary. And as a mom, Chris is a dad as well. We just said we really have to do something. Kids are out there. They don't even know that they are receiving pills either from their friends or from dealers or whoever, and they are dying. So we need to do something. So we just amongst ourselves decided, why don't we put together a presentation and really give students the facts? We're prosecutors. Let's just tell them what the facts are. Let's just empower them, help them make informed decisions, tell them the truth, what the dangers are. When they take that pill, you could die. Let's just tell them what we do. This is the drugs that we have seized from drug dealers. This is what drug dealers are doing out there. Please be safe. Please know that you could die if you take a pill. So that's really why we did this, just as prosecutors, as parents, as people seeing kids dying and wanting to do something about it.
You are not the only drug education group force out there. I know the Drug Policy Alliance has a curriculum, and DARE has been going on forever. I know there are people who question the efficacy of DARE. I'm among them. Do you have any thoughts on that? Are you in a competitive education market? And if so, what's that like?
I feel like however the message gets to kids, it's fine. So as many people out there talking about this, I'm not an educator. I don't know the science behind teaching kids other than as a mom, as a prosecutor. So the many people that are out there telling kids what this is, I feel like that's the better. I remember DARE growing up, and I remember Nancy Reagan, this is your brain on drugs. That's my generation, how we grew up. I feel like the way we do it is a little bit more of empowerment to the students. Like, this is what's going on. Drug dealers are trying to manipulate you. This is the seizures that we have seized out there. 7 out of 10 pills could have fentanyl, could kill you. So I think kids these days they're smart. I think they appreciate that you're just telling them like it is and giving them the facts. We also put, as Chris mentioned, a lot of videos, And we've worked with this organization, A Song for Charlie, which is a great organization that has put out videos. And the way that came about was the founders, their son took a Percocet pill, I believe it was, or thought it was, and had an overdose. And so they also are out there educating others about these counterfeit pills, and they've put out tremendous videos. So we've used their videos with their permission. So I think the more information out there, and whatever is going to grasp the child or the student to say, okay, that resonated with me, then fine. As long as we get the message out there.
Song for Charlie. Have you worked with Denise Mariano at Song for Charlie? Does that name ring a bell?
It does. Chris, did we meet with, we definitely met with the founder and some other people, but it does ring a bell. Yes, right?
With a few people from Song for Charlie, a wonderful organization. I applaud every organization, every government agency, every nonprofit that is getting the words out, where there's no competition here in my mind. It's all good. And if people are trying to get the word out any way they can, there's even within the education system, there are health teachers and substance abuse prevention teachers that specialists, they're all trying to get the same message across to young people as well as older people. Older people are affected by this as well. We are happy to go to any community organization, senior centers, houses of worship, students, faculty, parents, and explain to them just how dangerous fentanyl is. To give an example, if you look at a penny and look at the Lincoln's forehead on the penny, just the amount of fentanyl to cover Lincoln's forehead on the penny is enough fentanyl to kill you. And another example is the tip of a pencil. Just a tiny, tiny amount can kill you. And the drug dealers are not very careful in how they measure these things. And as a result, many, many people are dying.
Yet there's still a market. I mean, the dealers don't seem to be worried about losing customers because they must feel there will always be some others along the way.
Well, part of the problem is once someone starts, as you know, Bill, we all know, once someone starts using drugs, there are a tremendous amount of symptoms, withdrawal symptoms, cravings, psychological, physiological. And once someone is addicted, it's very, very hard to overcome that addiction. As one medical professional said, that if you want to know how hard it is to overcome addiction, try not eating for a week. And a drug user said, no, it's more like try not breathing. So, once people, I think, learn, that's why it's so important to go into the schools to educate the students ahead of time before they start getting tempted. I know that when I was young, we would hear from adults, oh, drugs are bad, but we never really got the information as to why they were so bad. And among peers, when I was young, people would say, oh, this drug is not so bad. The parents are exaggerating. That's why it's so important, I believe, to go into the schools and tell them exactly why it's so dangerous, why drug dealers are selling it without telling you that it's fentanyl. And just a tiny, tiny amount can kill you, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it to take a pill. It's not worth it to try some drug. It could be the end of your life within minutes.
You're listening to the Kingfisher Project on the Local Edition. I'm Bill Williams. After the break, more with my guest.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
There's another way to look at it, too, and it's perhaps a less charitable one. Netflix is trying to take a competitor off of the board. That competitor is not Warner Brothers. That competitor is movie theaters.
I'm Michael Barbaro. That's Today on The Daily from The New York Times.
I'm Maria Hinojosa. This week on Latino USA, we travel down to South Georgia to spend 48 hours at El Refugio. It's a refuge for people visiting detainees at one of the country's largest immigration detention camps.
Every weekend that I come down here, I play out different scenarios in my mind about what could possibly happen.
That's this week on Latino USA. Thursday afternoon at 2 on Radio Catskill.
Welcome back to the Kingfisher Project on the Local Edition. I'm your host, Bill Williams, and I'm talking with Chris Adell and Bernice Ordonez of the New York City Special Narcotics Prosecutor's Office. I saw on your website that there's a fatal overdose in New York City every 4 hours.
That's correct. So as I tell the students, I say in 24 hours from the lecture, 6 more New Yorkers will have died from unintentional overdose deaths. And we just want to do everything we can to alert students. And I think when students are told this information, they will think twice. That's at least the hope. And I think they will. I know that when I was young, people would do risky behavior, but they were always calculating how risky is this? And, you know, how dangerous could this be? And they might do some things that are risky, but if they realized it was extremely risky, they realized that they were putting their life in severe danger, I think and hope that they would think twice.
The figures, the city of New York, is there a preponderance of an age group that winds up overdosing more than other age groups? And are adolescents at the high end?
Well, what's interesting is that it impacts all ages. From 18 to 45, it's the leading cause of preventable deaths. But then beyond 45, it also impacts older people as well. So everyone's at stake. And as we mentioned in our presentation, infants have died because they were around drugs that had fentanyl in it. And teenagers have died because they thought that they were taking a pill that looked just like something their parents or their friends are taking. It looks that the drug dealers make it look just like a real prescription pill. It looks like a real prescription pill, and they take it and they die. As a matter of fact, I was just watching recently a story of a young woman who passed away from fentanyl poisoning. And when they went back and looked at her her past internet usage, I believe right before she died, she looked up, what does a real Percocet pill look like? So she was, or some kind of pill. So she obtained the pill, presumably online, and had some concern, was worried that maybe it wasn't safe. But then when she looked at what a real pill looks like and compared it to what she received, she felt comfortable taking it.
Bernice, when you talk to kids, what sort of questions do they ask you? Or both of you?
Yep. You know, it's interesting. We've spoken to kids as young as sixth grade through college. And I'll have to tell you, the younger kids really have a lot of questions and are very engaged. The older ones, as juniors and seniors in high school, they are engaged as well. But I feel like the younger ones are definitely come in with more questions. Sometimes we get, well, is fentanyl in marijuana? And that's really something we just don't know and we cannot answer because we don't test for marijuana. But anecdotally, we have heard that some people have found it in marijuana, but we can't affirmatively say that. We get questions, well, can you taste fentanyl? Does it taste different? Or can you smell it? Can you tell if it's in a substance? And you really can't taste it. You can't smell it. You can't at all discern that there is fentanyl in a substance. So we get questions like that from students, which they really are thinking about it. We also talk about Narcan, naloxone, and administering that. and making sure that the nurses in these schools that we go to have naloxone readily available. Some kids ask, well, if we administer naloxone and the person is not overdosing, is that harmful? It is not. You should, if you think they're having an overdose, you should call 911, administer naloxone. So they're definitely thinking about it, engaging, asking good questions.
Do you tell them about the Good Samaritan laws in the state of New York?
That's another thing. Thank you for bringing that up. Yes. So we definitely discuss the Good Samaritan law, which is we tell them, if you are with a friend, if you are with someone and you see that they are overdosing, call 911. If you have naloxone, administer naloxone. You will not get in trouble. The person overdosing does not get in trouble. You, as the caller of 911 who called to get aid for them, will not get in trouble. The police will not arrest you. Good Samaritan laws are in place to make sure that 911 and help get to the person who is overdosing. That is the top priority, not arresting someone who is having an overdose.
Chris, what part does social media play in this, and cell phones and computers in both informing and misinforming young people?
Unfortunately, with the prevalence of social media, these drugs are more available than ever for young people and people of all ages. And of course, the drug dealer does not want to tell them that it has fentanyl. They don't typically tell them that it has fentanyl. They claim that it's something else. Someone goes online, orders it, and can even get it delivered straight to their home. Before I forget, I wanted to mention some very helpful webpage, if I may, Bill.
Sure.
It's a New York City government site. It's nyc.gov/naloxone, NALOXONE. Naloxone is the generic name for Narcan, which can reverse an overdose. The New York City Health Commissioner recommends that everyone have naloxone on hand. They could save a family member's life. They could save a neighbor's life. And it's very easy to use. And if you go to the website, nyc.gov/naloxone, you scroll down to the middle of the page. Towards the end, it says upcoming naloxone trainings. There are trainings at various dates and times. They're online. It's about 30 minutes. You do the training, and then they give you information for how they will mail to you for free naloxone so that you can save a person's life and carry it with you. Thank you.
Does your office have any naloxone on site?
We do. We obtained quite a bit of naloxone. We keep it on site should that be needed. And I take it with me. I try to travel with me from home to work and elsewhere with naloxone on.
Yeah. We're in a rural area, but I always have some in my car.
That's great.
Are there others in the office or beside the two of you that work in the education that are out and about talking to kids, or is this?
Absolutely. Yep. In fact, we have a committee of attorneys and staff. The attorneys can volunteer in our office and go out there to the schools to give this presentation. And in fact, when we go out to, let's say, the Queens or the Bronx or Staten Island, we invite any attorneys or our partnership over there with the DA's office there, if they want to come out with us to go to the school. So definitely it's not just me and Chris. We definitely, it's usually me and Chris, but there's definitely other attorneys who go out there and speak to students. And we've gone all over New York City to all five boroughs, high schools, middle schools, colleges, churches, community groups, parents, really anyone who will hear us. We will speak to them and we will even give our presentation to people so that they can give it. Some teachers themselves have seen our presentation a few times and they give it to their students on their own without us, which is perfectly fine.
Do you go ahead? Go ahead, Chris.
To answer your question, I just want to emphasize one thing, which is why are these drug dealers doing it? And the reason is fentanyl is extremely cheap. So they can make, it's estimated that make 20 times more profits by using fentanyl and claiming it's cocaine or heroin or prescription drug. 20 times more profits by using selling fentanyl and claiming it's something else than instead of using the real thing. And it's also just a tiny amount is fatal. So that, and then it's highly addictive. And so it gets people coming back for more. So if it doesn't kill you, it will get people to come back for more and more.
So it will kill you, which is the question whether you get the local or the express.
Yes. If the fentanyl may not kill you the first time, but many times it does kill you the first time. But if it doesn't kill you the first time, it'll increase your addiction. And, you know, it's like rolling the dice every time, and eventually it will kill you.
Do you have parents that work with you as speakers?
As of now, no. We're always open to parents. We want to be respectful of their time and the grief that they encounter. We really are more supportive of parents who have lost loved ones in terms of alerting them to what we're doing. They've encouraged us in terms of us, what we're doing. And there are some other organizations where they have parents who go out and speak in other places of the country.
Yeah. Anything I've left out? Any closing thoughts from either benediction for either of you? Or from either of you, not for you, please.
Thank you for having us. I think you mentioned our webpage. Anyone can go to our webpage. I'll let Chris mention our email. Anyone could email us and ask for the presentation for their community. And Song for Charlie is another great organization. Their webpage is Song for Charlie. People can look them up as well.
Chris, any thoughts?
No, just thank you very much, Bill, for having us. We really appreciate it. We love your program. I love your program. You've had amazing speakers, and I'm truly honored that you asked us to join you today.
Well, we're honored to have you on.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Big thanks, as always, to Bill Williams. Again, his guests tonight work under Bridget Brennan, Special Narcotics Prosecutor for New York City. To hear his interview with Ms. Brennan herself, it aired last month. Check out the Kingfisher podcast at wjffradio.org or go to Radio Catskills YouTube channel. Seriously, that's a great way to help out this radio station if you'd like to help us out. If you're ever on YouTube, just search Radio Catskill. When our channel comes up, click subscribe. Ring the bell to get notifications, and please like and share our videos. Spread the word to the folks you know about all the great work we do here at Radio Catskill and all the great places that they can access that work. Tell them about Radio Catskill being on YouTube, because the more people who know about us, the more support we will have, the more stable we will be in these otherwise shaky times. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. The local edition is going to return tomorrow evening at 6. Hear more local news tomorrow morning at 10 on Radio Catskill with Tim Bruno. Coming up tonight, Mr. Kusar Grace brings you 2 hours of phenomenal music starting at 7 on Music Emporium. But first, we have more news on the way from The Daily. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Neversink General Store, featuring deli sandwiches, gourmet specials, and catering. TheNeversinkGeneralStore.com. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Every weekday morning at 9, NewsHour from the BBC brings you the most important international news stories. NewsHour helps you understand a complex world. Stay informed with NewsHour from the BBC, weekday mornings at 9 on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. From river to river, mountain to mountain, We are Radio Catskill.